We start with actress, author, and NPR commentator Annabel Gurwitch. Let's start with your Southern Jewish roots. You have had certainly an interesting background and backstory, Annabel Gurwitch.
Oh, hey, thank you so much. And first of all, thanks for having me. Yes, so, you know, in my long career as an actress, people always assumed I was a New Yorker because New York was my adopted home. I moved there when I was 18 to go to NYU, and I just fell in love with New York City. But I'm from Alabama, and my family immigrated from Russia in the early part of the 20th century and settled along the Mississippi in Mobile, Alabama, and in Louisiana. And they were fur trappers. And then they became bootleggers, and they were shipbuilders. And, you know, this is I was born in Mobile, and so our family has deep roots there. And I think there is, it's not a secret to you, you know, because the South has such an identity. I tell people, you know, there's gumbo flowing through my blood it's flowing through my veins. And, you know, it has a very particular identity, and I was really shaped by that, by not only the immigrant experience, but by the Southern experience. And my immediate family left Mobile because of, we had all kinds of businesses there, and my dad owed money to everyone. And my dad was a get-rich-quick scheme guy who, you know, Malcolm Gladwell wrote about what he called the crooked ladder of success, which is how immigrants in that time who came over would work at the margins of legality to get established in America. And then as they get established, they moved out of that. And that's what happened to my family. People, the first generation, my great-grandmother rented rooms to ladies of the evening in Pritchard, Alabama.
All right, but how difficult was it for you, Annabel, to come to grips with your varied background as far as family ancestors?
Well, that's the thing, is that my dad never got off that crooked ladder of success. And, you know, we followed him around the country on this sort of these get-rich-quick schemes that he had, and this, all these businesses that people read about in the book that he failed in and succeeded in, failed in and succeeded in. And that was a tough way to grow up with a certain, you know, financial insecurity. And I really wanted to write about that experience that I've never written about before, because that's really informed how I live now and what interests me in the world. And one of the things that interests me in stories, people's stories, and I tell my story because I'm interested in stories and interested in how we all make stories that we then live in and how the stories that we tell ourselves. And I'm interested in, first of all, how this economic insecurity shapes so many of our lives in America. And there's a certain kind of shame that we had growing up. I was always supposed to tell people, my mother would always say, don't tell anyone what your father does. And when people would call, there's usually creditors, and she would say, don't tell anyone we're home. Well, my parents weren't home for most of my childhood. And I think writing about these things is very, takes the shame away, for not only from me, but from other people, to hear, oh, other people go through this. And it really set me off on a path of looking for other families to join my whole life. And I also think that is one of the hallmarks of our way of life that we live now as modern humans. We are a species that needs community. We need family, but we don't all live near our families for various reasons, whether we're trying to leave them because, you know, or interpersonal reasons or economics, we need to find work across the country. But this is how we live. So,
all right. Well, you describe yourself as a Jewish mother, Annabel, and a reluctant atheist. So your background has shaped you in ways that some might find curious.
You know, I don't have a problem with identifying in all the ways that I've things I've inherited and the culture I've inherited and the culture I've appropriated. I grew up Jewish, and I had a religious upbringing in terms of we were, you know, what we call congregational Jews. We, you know, first of all, living in the South, it's very difficult to keep kosher. Shellfish, you just can't, it's too delicious. You just can't do that. So, I mean, for our family. But, you know, I was bat mitzvahed, I was confirmed, I went to Israel, worked on a kibbutz. I mean, I had that background. I'm just not a believer in God. So, in my life is one of these, I have like a melting pot of cultural influences. So, for instance, I celebrate Jewish holidays, but I don't belong to a congregation. But I have that in my bones. That's part of my culture. It's part of the lens that I see the world in. But I'm really interested in how we all live together. My son went to an Episcopal school, which was a great, happened to be the school we really liked, and they had a great community. And my son and I volunteered in the church soup kitchen, and my son was bar mitzvahed in the place where he worked in the soup kitchen. And I felt that was a great way of sharing in cultures. And then I'm an atheist, so one of the stories I write about in the book is about how secular humanist groups are looking to form non-spiritual family groups in which to do community service, and to find a way of organizing for families that isn't in a deific belief system. And so this is, you know, I feel like one of the things I'm lucky about with my nutty background of living so many places, of finding family and community in so many places, is it gives me a chance to share that with the world. And so when I say, this is the subtitle of the book, Stories About My Family You Might Relate To, I hope people will understand what I mean that in family in the largest sense.
Now, what about the South is the biggest misconception that people in other parts of the country have? People who are in New York City with you right now probably have some impressions about the South that you do not have since you are native born.
Yeah, that's so funny. You know, people are like, I can't believe you're from the South. Well, what did you think? Who's from the South? You know, it is a funny thing. And first of all, one of the issues that brings up is just our misconceptions about how we characterize people in lump groups. I think that writing about being Jewish in the South just challenges people's idea that there's a monolith of people's beliefs and people's identities there. I mean, what's so funny is, you know, when you see a characterization of the South, and of course there are examples you can point to that support these ideas about closed-mindedness and rigid belief systems. I think that is one of the immediate assumptions people make about the South. You also have, at the same time, some of our great writers, our greatest American writers, who come from the South. I mean, okay, Tennessee Williams, okay, Harper Lee, okay, Eudora Welty, Flannery O'Connor,
William Faulkner,
Walker Percy.
Yeah, it's an area rich in heritage, but nonetheless, it is an area that, as you know, is complex and is changing. And how often do you come back?
You know, I will actually. I'm coming down to Alabama for my book reading. I have tried to maintain, you know, a connection. My son and I were in New Orleans for the 5th anniversary of Katrina, working on rebuilding houses in an area in one of the areas that was hard hit by Hurricane Katrina. When I was growing up, we always went to Mardi Gras. My dad, we had an apartment in New Orleans. We still have friends and family there. I feel connected to that part of the country. I also feel like One of the things I'm writing about is the Gulf Coast.
Well, we've got to roll, but thank you, Annabelle Gurwitch. It's been a pleasure, and we're back after this time out.